GloucesterCast 201. One past the big 200. You missed the big 200. Mm-hmm. That's all right, though.
We're going to do a special thing, right?
We are going to do a special thing in the future. We're here with Israel Horowitz and Heidi Dallin.
Horowitz. Horowitz plays the piano. Horowitz writes the plays. I'm just saying.
No, I agree. I didn't know that.
No one's ever mispronounced my name before.
Horowitz. That's right. Heidi Dallin. Kim Smith is here too.
Good morning, Gloucester.
I said Heidi's name right.
Perfect.
And Kim Smith. I got it right. I don't know how I did that.
No, Dallin. A lot of people don't say Dallin correctly.
How do they mess that up?
Dalling.
Dallin. Dallin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So you said it perfectly.
We had a very spirited conversation that we're not going to go into for the last 20, 30 minutes or so, because we don't do politics. But we are here to talk.
I'm with her.
Oh, there you go. Got that in. Snuck that in. Not ashamed. Yeah. All right. We're here to talk about Man in Snow, which is the latest from you.
It is the latest, yeah.
Going to be opening September 29th, a very special day for some people.
It's somebody's big birthday.
Somebody's big birthday, yep. And it's going to run from September 29th to October 23rd.
In Gloucester. And then we're going to take it to New York, actually, in November. It'll open at La Mama Theater in New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's already been established.
Yeah, that's all contracted. Well, we're still... There are a couple of cuts in the budget they have to make, but... same cast, same play, same director.
So where do you put the people up when you move them to New York?
Some of them have places in New York. Paul O'Brien and Sandra Shipley, although they're old Boston actors, actually live in New York now and work in New York. Will Lyman, who's playing the lead, has a place in New York. I obviously live in New York part-time. There are only... two people, I think, involved. And La Mama has a dormitory and housing.
Ashley Ristine?
Exactly.
Ashley's the only one.
Yeah.
Francisco Salazano?
Yeah, he lives in New York. He's a Brooklyn boy.
Did we say that this was the premiere? I don't know if we said that. This is the world premiere of the play.
I'll tell you about the play. Yeah. I was in Alaska in the late 1990s with a play called Barking Sharks, Barking Sharks, Barking Sharks.
How did you spell it?
I spelled it like Americans spell it, but okay. I say it like real people say it.
Okay.
And I went to do a radio show like this to plug the play, and a guy named John Krakauer was at the station who wrote Into Thin Air, and he's a wonderful writer. And so we were in the green room before the show, and he said, "You know, this just happened, and I can't get it out of my mind, and it's a story I can't use, but maybe you can use it." There was an avalanche on McKinley. We're in Fairbanks, Alaska, and Mount McKinley, which is now called Denali, is between Fairbanks and Anchorage. And he said, "A guy's in his cabin with his cell phone hooked into these antennas that they have, and he's talking to his wife, and an avalanche hits the cabin, and he spends the last minutes of his life saying goodbye to his wife on the cell phone, buried in 30 feet of snow." So I was haunted by it, absolutely haunted by it. And I get back to America, and a couple weeks later, I get a call from BBC Radio 4, and I grew up as a radio kid, because I'm an old guy, and I love radio, and there is no radio program for radio plays in America to speak of. And so every year, for years, I would write a play for BBC Radio in London. And they called me up and they said, "You know, it's time for you to come up with a new play. Do you have any ideas?" And I thought, my God, it's the perfect radio play. So I wrote the first iteration of Man in Snow as a radio play for BBC Radio. I played the guy. I went over and played the guy. Will Lyman is playing it. And that's a story in itself. And the play won the Sony Radio Academy Award. So it got picked up by a lot of national radio stations in France and Italy and whatever. Let me just back up to BBC Radio. I play the guy who gets trapped in the avalanche. And I'm an old actor, studio actor. old method actor. So I say to him in the sound booth, can you put some, like, I have to be buried in snow. I have to act like him. Can you, there's a rug over there rolled up. Could you put, I'll get down on the floor, put it on top of me, like put some chairs on top. So I have this feeling of being trapped. So they look at me like I'm crazy. crazy. Yeah. And they do it because I'm me. Yeah. It's my play. What are they going to do? So I do the take, and it's absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying to be under the rug and the chairs and do this part. So they take the stuff off of me, and they're all like, wow, that was great. That was wonderful. Brilliant, you know, and all the English. And I'm in a place psychologically I've never been. I can't stop the panic that I felt because I don't do that much acting. And I guess actors know how to do this, but I couldn't get out of it. So the sound designer is a woman who was one of my wife's close friends from childhood. So I go to her very quietly and I say, I'm in trouble. And slowly but surely, everybody is around me and they're like trying to bring me back to the planet Earth. And it takes about 15 minutes. And finally, I'm like, I'm okay. I think I'm okay. And the guy who's directing it comes over to me and he says, could we do just one more take to be sure that we've got it? And I said, no. Anyway, a couple of years ago, my agent at the time I did it said, boy, you should do this for stage. And I went, yeah. But I'm always busy, you know, writing something. And I just didn't get around to it. And a couple of years ago in France on French National Radio, they did a festival of my plays, and they flew me over to direct some of them. And I directed this play with a wonderful actor named Patrick Chenet, who I was told during rehearsals that his son had died the year before. And this play is about a guy who's grieving for his lost son. So that was just a huge emotional trip in itself. I have a little theater company in Italy with a guy named Andrea Paciotto. It's called the Compagnia Horowitz Paciotto. And he hears the play and said, I would like to put the script on stage. So I said, but it's a radio play. He said, let me do it, because he's a very visual director. So I go over to see it, and it's amazing, just amazing. So I decided that I would adapt it. It was like 35, 40-minute radio play into a full-length play and steal some of his ideas, of course, because they were great. So this is the world premiere of the stage play. But you might say that I've been working on this thing since 1998, so yeah, it's about time. Yeah.
Wow, unbelievable.
They're wonderful actors. I have the best of Boston's actors, really. Will Lyman is a huge star in the area, and he works in New York. And Paul O'Brien and Sandra Shipley.
Nakahara.
Ron is a Japanese actor who worked. I developed a stage play through the Actors Studio during this last year with Frank, with Francisco Solorzano, and Ron was in. We did three different versions of the play because it was tough to get it from a radio play to a real stage play. And I'm a member of the Actors Studio, and they have a playwright director's unit where you can rehearse with actors, bring it in, and you get this wonderful audience of actors and of playwrights and directors, like 100 of them, and you get feedback. You know, they'll sit for a couple of hours afterwards and talk about the piece, so you get a lot of help.
I get a feeling that the Gloucester stage and Israel Horovitz,
him too, yeah,
is there's similarities to NFL players and the New England Patriots, and I'm going to tell you how the analogy works.
Soft footballs.
No, but we get incredible talent that want to play, and all other things equal, they come to New England despite our cold, horrible winters to play instead of Miami to play football,
right,
or San Francisco to play football, because they win and they do great things and they're a great unit, and so I feel like there's this symbiotic thing that these playwrights because you're associated with Gloucester Stage, we get to have these incredible actors because we have Gloucester Stage. Gloucester Stage is what it is because of what Israel Horovitz has done. And it's this kind of like spiraling upward thing, building upon each other. Do you see my analogy, or am I crazy?
Well, there's a step in between, and that's if I go to an actor and I say, I'm going to do such and such a play up in Gloucester, will you do it? And they'll say, let me just see if I can find something so I can make some money before I do it.
Well, again, that's similar with the Patriots. They take a pay cut to come play for New England because they're winners, and it's going to be something fantastic, and they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. They have it, so these actors have a chance to be part of something so special working with you at the Gloucester Stage. Now you're going to bring it to New York after that. I mean, how lucky are we?
I mean, let me just add into the mix that Gloucester itself is a huge factor in that decision. I mean, actors come up here and they work, and they maybe saw a calendar with an Edward Hopper painting, but the first time they come here, they just cannot believe their eyes. How beautiful it is, winter or summer.
Who's the girl that was staying with Maggie Rosa as she came in to do the podcast?
Oh, yeah, from The Last Schwartz. Nakahara is staying with Maggie Rosa this time.
Well, there you go.
He loves it.
Well, you see her, I ran into her a couple times. She's like walking the back shore, you know, and everything else. You could tell. She just loved it here.
Right.
She was like, you know what I mean? She was a New York girl.
Yep, she was from New York, yep.
And just loved it here. And it's this symbiotic thing.
It's
like,
a
you
huge
know what I mean? It all comes together. Everybody benefits. And
well, Sandra and Paul have been doing shows here since the
years.
80s when at Blackburn Tavern.
Yeah.
Where the first time Paul was in the first Henry Lumper.
Yeah.
And Widow's Blind Date. And so they have
your memory of these things is incredible too. Like she has such history there.
I also read their bios as well because I have to set them. But
my memory, I wouldn't have looked pulling.
When Heidi's memory goes, the Gloucester Stage Company will have no past.
A void. I mean, there's going to be a void there. Like, geez, give her a raise. but I mean, this place. So what are the there's going to be evening performances at 7:30, Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2:00.
Yep. This weekend, September 29th, is a great weekend because it's the preview weekend, so prices are a little lower on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Thursday the 29th is a Cape Ann night, so the regular tickets that are $34, if you're a Cape Ann resident, you can get a ticket for $20 if you come on Thursday night.
Incredible.
And the prices are a little lower for Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday is the press opening.
I'm sure you could see all the information on the Gloucester Stage website.
Everything's on
the
website.
But we still
love our Cape Ann residents and still want to give an opportunity for people to come. You know, and then also, you know, if you say you love Gloucester Stage and, oh, I don't know the ticket prices, you can usher for the show.
Right. Yeah.
And you get to see the show for free. And you even get a free item at the concessions,
Ba-da-dong.
Too. So,
Israel, is this... We consider this dark? I mean, what do you consider?
I think it's a beautiful.
Is there
it's
a lot of love
dark
story
place
into it? Because
no, there's no love. Yes, there's a huge. I mean, it is a huge love story between a husband and the wife, and the father and the son. It's a real family play, and anybody who's lived on the planet Earth can relate to this play. It is about grieving and loss, and it's about love and marriage, and it's about parenting. It's really a family play.
Shades of the people that are having their phone calls on the 9/11 planes to their loved ones.
Yeah.
Shades of what was the movie with the astronaut that?
Sandra Bullock.
That gets they don't know if they're going to be able to get him back.
Yeah.
Right. Shades of. What was that movie? Was it The Abyss, where the guy's down at the bottom of the ocean, and he's telling.
I mean, it started out with this image that I gave, and whenever I write a play, I always think, okay, I know what I'm writing, and then about halfway through, I go, isn't it interesting where this play is taking me, and the event of the avalanche is in a way the smallest part of the play. It really is a play about the husband and wife and the family, the relationship of the father and daughter, how the father favors the son. It's a really strong
yeah.
It's a really strong piece. You mentioned the astronaut, and it's funny how things fly into your head. This is a true story. There was a Russian cosmonaut who was up in space for 3 years, and they brought him down 2 days after the Soviet Union disbanded. So the guy lands, and he thinks he's going to be paraded around as the great hero. And he lands, and they open the capsule, and they say, Sergei, we have a problem. It's a true story.
Wow, Jesus, yeah. Huh?
So when you see your play, do you go home crying? I mean, is it really like...
Well, yeah. I do. I mean, I'm at an age now where, you know, I see a lobster and I cry because I think somebody's going to cook it. You know?
It's not good for business. It's not good for business at all. Oh, Lord. Oh, I don't know. This sounds like
people are going to respond well for the play. I mean, it's certainly not a diversion. It's not a musical comedy, and I don't think anybody's going to create a musical comedy based on this play. But you know, there are plays out there like Death of a Salesman, and they work too. And this is more in that category. It's a good big serious play, and it's beautifully acted. Oh my God!
Wow. All right.
Frank really was in Gloucester Blue last year.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw him.
Oh, yeah. Was in Gloucester Blue. He was plays the one that got killed.
He dies at the end of the first act.
He got killed.
Gloucester Blue.
Yeah.
Good actor.
All right. GloucesterStage.com.
Yep.
Is that what it is?
Yep. GloucesterStage.com.
We're going to put a link in there.
Yep.
People to be able to buy tickets. Come
yep.
to the show, especially this first week, and get a deal.
Yep. Come to the first week. And it runs through October 23rd. So come Wednesday through Saturday at 7:30.
Looking Sunday. For ushers, too. Get a good opportunity. Come be an usher.
You get to see the show for free.
Yeah. All right.
It's perfect.
Deal. Israel, thanks for coming in.
Nice to see you guys.
Nice too.
To see you, Joe.
Heidi, thanks for coming. Thanks. Kim, all right. Act two coming up.
Movie one time. They went Christmas.
So that was great with Israel. He's a busy guy, so he had to get going. We still have Heidi Dallin here, though. Heidi, the Gloucester Youth Council, what is that? You brought that up in the show.
Yes.
But what is it?
It's very exciting. It's part of, it was originally, you've heard of Healthy Gloucester Collaborative.
Yep.
Which is a great group I've been involved in for a long time with Joan Whitney. And one of the committees I was on was the Underage Drinking and Drug Prevention Committee. And really, the Youth Council grew out of an idea of youth that, you know, in Gloucester wanting to be more involved.
Having a voice.
Mm. And, you know, we would have different, you know, students involved, and I would bring kids from the stage company, and there would be kids from the high school. But this was really a way for the kids to have a group of their own. They have a leader who is a part of Healthy Gloucester Collaborative and works with Joan, Christina Hildebrand. They meet every Thursday, and they set a lot of their own agenda. It is what young people in Gloucester are concerned about.
Oh.
What, you know, grew out of, we did a video a few years ago. Kids felt like when they went to other schools for different events and sporting things, they felt like the reputation of Gloucester, they were unhappy with it, you know, going on. And so they really wanted to do, we did a video called This Is Our Gloucester, and it highlighted everything young people in Gloucester were proud of.
Cool. Wow,
that is so cool.
And
not often enough they talk about those stuff.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it was a really interesting, we did all kinds of polling and surveys and video interviews, talking to find out
with other youth.
Yeah,
great.
And to find out what, and kids did all of this research.
Yeah.
To find out what people were proud of, and people were proud of things that were not really much different than what we as adults. They were proud of family businesses, working with their families. That was something that they felt. They loved the ocean. They thought living by the ocean was to, and like, who would think, like a 15-year-old would think,
would be thinking about,
yeah, would be thinking about that, or the beauty of it, or where they, so there was all this movement with young people wanting to have a voice. And so Joan Whitney is, you know, fabulous and is such a great asset to the community, who runs Healthy Gloucester Collaborative. So
is that a city department? What is that?
No,
Healthy Quasi City?
No,
Healthy Steve Gloucester. Winslow, is he involved in that?
He is in some respects, because with his whole thing is, you know, taking a bike and walking, and that's healthy. So he's a part. Healthy Gloucester Collaborative is a nonprofit that is, it's basically individuals in Gloucester who are interested in making Gloucester a healthy community.
Do they get funding from anyone?
Joan Whitney writes grants, and there's all kinds of funding. And everybody who's on the committee, it's all, you know, like I was on a committee with Bob Gillis from Cape Ann Savings Bank, and, you know, everybody, it's all different people from the hospital, people from the school nurses, things like that. And there are all different programs that are kind of an offshoot of the collaborative. Like, they were doing things with opioid prescriptions and things like that. And Dr. Wolf was a big proponent of that. You know, he was a member of the collaborative. And I was, you know, the youth piece was something that was really important with me. So now the youth have their own council.
That's nice. Uh-huh. You know, there's accountability. I mean, I'll say that. When you give them a voice, they feel like there's hope. Yeah. You know what I mean? They feel like
ownership.
Right. I'm here on this council representing the city. I better, you know, toe the line and do good stuff and set a good example.
Well, and they have to sign a contract for, you know, their behavior and how the meetings are run, and that you listen to different viewpoints, and that you're not.
Wow, that's interesting that they put that in there, that they have to listen to different viewpoints. In this day and age, that should be a contract that everybody has to sign.
And you're not, and you know, that you're not involved in, you know, you're not involved with drugs and with alcohol, and that you're, and
totalitarians.
The kids have very strong viewpoints. We're working on now, I do a project with them every year, which is a public service announcement, and help them kind of get their ideas together and get the public service announcement. And this year they really wanted to do something. Every year it's their idea. This year their idea was they really want to reach out to parents and have parents know that kids listen to them. Like, that maybe parents don't think their kids
are listening.
That kids are listening. Kids are listening.
And it's funny because, yeah, like, in this past week, I've seen so many little memes of, like, you know, on the internet of mothers saying, you know, I asked my, you know, my kid to do this, I get crickets. I asked them to do this, I get crickets. I get this, I get crickets. I flip out on them, and then my kid says, "Why are you acting so crazy, man?"
Well, this is the whole idea, is that, you know, kids really want to get across to parents and trusted adults as well. It doesn't have to be a parent. It can be a grandparent. It can be a school leader. It can be something that, you know, it may not seem, but kids, but they are listening, and what you say has an effect.
Very cool.
So we're going to be working on that. Hopefully, you know, we'll send it. Hopefully you guys can put up when we get it done. We partner with Cape Ann TV, and the kids are in it. The kids write it. It's really fun. The Youth Council has a lot of other projects that they're working on too. And, you know, anti-smoking, you know, everything. So awesome.
Good for them. Do they have a website we can link to, I wonder?
There's a Facebook page, and Healthy Gloucester Collaborative has a website
I'll look it up.
Which just went live, and it's a great, and there are kids that really are.
You can tell anyone that signs up for this kind of thing, probably, you know, going to college, leaders, you know what I mean? It's good. That's probably a great thing to have on a resume.
Well, and it's, and
for,
you know,
a college application.
Yeah. They want to be a part of they care about their community. Yeah. Which is a great thing.
Speaking of kids and views and stuff like that, there's a marijuana forum on October 6th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Beauport Hotel.
Oh,
that's kind of interesting that they didn't have that there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Who's sponsoring
it? It says, "Be an informed voter. Join us for a public information forum discussing the mass marijuana legalization initiative, Thursday, October 6th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Beauport Hotel in Gloucester. The forum will present both pro and con perspectives, mm-hmm. with Deborah Becker of NPR moderating and League of Women Voters explaining the ballot language. The goal is to help clarify confusion, educate, and have a question and answer session with attendees." Hold on 1 second. I'm going to look up the... it is this. Okay, so the speakers are Deborah Becker, senior correspondent and host for WBUR. She's moderating it. Presenting ballot supporter Jeffrey Myron, PhD, Department of Economics at Harvard. Presenting ballot opposition John F. Kelly, PhD, Harvard Medical School Director, Recovery Research Institute, MGH, and I guess the League of Women Voters is probably sponsored by the Substance Abuse Prevention Collaborative North Shore Prevention Partnership, Gloucester, Beverly, Essex, Ipswich, Manchester, and Rockport.
Yeah, regional is very important now, something that Joan Whitney's is the Substance Prevention Coordinator for the city. I think that's her title. But regional is something that's very important too now, is with other communities, that it's not a Healthy Gloucester Collaborative has relationships. There's a Danvers organization, there's Beverly organizations, and so we're trying to...
Isn't it interesting though that the supporter and the opposition direct ties to Harvard? Harvard Medical School from the opposition, Department of Economics for the pro.
Yeah. Harvard's a very diverse
business,
place.
Because there's money to be made,
right.
Is the pro.
Right.
And
That is interesting. I noticed that when you read that as well. Wow. Well, maybe perhaps they felt like they couldn't have somebody with less credentials on the opposing, or you know what I mean?
This is funny that it's kind of a regional thing. So I guess they're going to be, this is more topical talking about the law as opposed to where they're going to have a dispensary in Gloucester.
I think this is having to do with the ballot
the
question.
The ballot question.
So you can make an informed decision on the ballot question.
Right.
So there's two, you know, the pros and the cons, and then you can decide what. It's not filtered through like a news cycle or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you can decide.
Yeah, it's a great idea for anyone.
So,
it's really, I don't know too many people that are, I don't know. I shouldn't say that because I don't really talk to a lot of old people.
I'm kind of personally on the fence about it. I really haven't decided one way or the other.
I would say I am too.
Because
conventional wisdom, how many times did we say over the course of the years before we knew any of the facts, they should just legalize it so we can get the tax revenue from it or something, like,
right.
You know what I mean? They should, cause that was like the big thing. They should just legalize it. But now that it's becoming a reality and you can have a dispensary in your backyard, now everybody's really, now the metal, get you put the
pedal to the metal.
Kind of like, okay, we really better figure out what the hell this means.
Right.
To us.
Right.
Well, I've been reading a lot about how it has impacted states that have, like Colorado, and it's not, you know, it's not all rosy. I think there's it's a lot deeper issue, and as you said, you know, everybody, you know, would be just like, oh, of course it should be legalized, but I like that it's decriminalized. I think that was a very key component, but now, now that's the next step.
Mm. Well, I think it's good there's
step.
A forum like this,
Totally.
You have no idea, really.
All the room, like, you know, this whole police scandal thing, like, rather than like hearing from it from Joe Blow, and that's your facts that you're getting,
right.
Like, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you hear it from two people that, you know.
Another meeting at East Gloucester Elementary School
tomorrow night,
is the forum for East Gloucester School veteran / veterans, combining the two at East Gloucester School. There's a lot of moving parts to this.
Right.
So
I'm gonna go.
Oh, I'm glad that you're gonna
I'm
go.
I'm gonna go because I think it really impacts our neighborhood and the families in our neighborhood and things like that. And I want to see how I want to learn how my neighbors are feeling about it. You know, especially
because
you know, I think it's beautiful conservation land. I haven't been up there in a couple of years, but when my kids were little, we would go up there.
I don't think there's one thing that's set in stone right now. Right. I think there's a bunch of different things that they're talking about.
But I think I read Jonathan Pope quoted as saying that's the plan that they put forward to the state was the combination. They put that forward for a new school. Combining the two schools. That's the phase.
Combining the two, but not the location, though.
Not the location.
Right. I think a lot of people are really concerned. Well, I'm thinking of it that way, are concerned about the location.
Yes, the location, and just all the concept of combining the two schools, too. So, losing the element of the neighborhood school, because if it's built up at Swenson's Field, then Veterans loses their neighborhood school. So, no matter which side of town you build it on.
Right.
And
we were just talking about walking to school again.
Right.
And the whole neighborhood school concept.
Right.
It's all going to come down to money.
Right.
And from what I understand, there isn't going to be enough money to do five schools.
Right.
There just isn't. Hey, you never know. All right, 1 second. That meeting is at East Gloucester Elementary is it 6 p.m.?
6:30.
6:30 p.m., East Gloucester School, Monday night.
Yeah.
It'd be great to get, just like the marijuana thing, some firsthand, information about what they're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Kim, last week we were talking, you had mentioned this term, keystone species.
Yeah.
Last week we were talking about the beavers.
Beavers and wolves, because it started from the muskrats.
It started with the muskrats.
And I'm sad to say, since I posted that post about them, I haven't seen the muskrats at all.
Maybe they don't like publicity.
I don't think they like publicity.
they're publicity shy, you know?
I hope somebody didn't look at them as a problem or something like that.
No, I doubt that.
I don't know. It's weird that, I was seeing them every day, and then
The location where you were seeing them, was it a pretty... Did you have to kind of go into the woods to kind of see them?
No, it was at Henry's Pond. Right at Henry's Pond.
Henry's Pond, I forget.
I'm sorry. You know where Pebble Beach is?
Yeah, yeah. On the back side of... on the other side of the main road?
Yes, so that little road that goes along Pebble Beach, just on the other side, just like Niles Pond and Brace Cove, it's a body of salt water with a narrow strip of land with a body of fresh water.
Gotcha.
So it's another, like Niles and Brace, another beautiful symbiotic relationship between fresh and salt water. So, for example, like I'll be filming and I'll see all the shorebirds eating in the seaweed, then they... scoot over to Niles, over to Henry's, take a bath, splash around, and they scoot back over to the beach, to that. Uh-huh. So it's really, kind of these cool, very cool relationships. So that's where I saw the muskrats at Henry's.
So we're going to talk about two more keystone species.
Yes, so I learned about that sea otters and prairie dogs are also keystone species. And keystone species just means it has a stronger impact on its environment than a regular species ordinarily would. So just like a keystone in an arch, if you remove the keystone, the whole thing will crumble
down.
So
in what ways are the sea otters,
so they eat, one of their main diets is sea urchins and mollusks. And by them eating the sea urchins and mollusks, sea urchins and mollusks eat kelp beds, and they bite off the kelp at the roots, and then the kelp floats away. So by sea otters doing that, they preserve kelp beds, which are a huge source of food for every animal creature in the sea. So, anyways, and then also prairie dogs are another super keystone species, and they work like beavers work in our area. Prairie dogs dig holes through the soil. and they actually affect rainfall, and other species use the holes that they dig through the soil. So,
now when you say a prairie dog, does it look like a dog? Does it look like a muskrat, groundhog,
looks,
or something?
It's smaller, and it looks more, a prairie dog's a little furry mammal. It looks more like a lighter colored muskrat. You know how the muskrats are chocolatey brown? These are like a little
almost
brown.
Like a gopher?
Yeah. But I think prairie dogs are even smaller. I've never actually seen a prairie dog.
I'm
not from the
Midwest. I'm going to have to look up prairie dog. In the show notes, I'm going to have to find a picture of a prairie dog.
Yeah, they look really cute in picture. They're very revered in the Midwest.
Wildlife. NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, is hosting a hearing on at-sea monitoring program. Which are
on the funding of it.
On the funding of it.
Right.
October 4th at the local NOAA office. The thing, we'll talk a little bit about that. The
just so the audience knows, Joey's looking at his phone right now.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I just have to make sure it's nothing crazy important. The has to do with business. I have to stop.
Right.
That didn't have to do with business.
I just wanted the audience to know that was.
So. That's all right. So the this monitoring program was put in place, I don't know if it was like 10 years ago. So they have these monitors that go out on the fishing boats, and they record what the fishing boats catch.
Right.
Now what is charged for these these people, I think it's like $800 a day.
Yes.
It's like a crazy, crazy amount.
And certain people make that money. It's not, you know, the money goes to a certain person who used to work for NOAA, right? Isn't that right?
I believe the person was on the council.
Okay.
The fisheries council that voted to mandate that these at-sea monitors go out. That person actually created the
business.
That you call in and
right.
or whatever they supply. You write the check to this company.
Right.
And they have a monopoly on the business.
Right. And if
there's it's banana land to me.
Yeah.
It's completely banana land to me.
I wonder how does that happen?
And then. So, and every year, the fishermen it's threatened that they're gonna have to pay for these monitors.
Right.
Every year, mysteriously, the funding comes up for the government to pay for these
right, the
things.
SC monitor.
But I feel like it's one of those tools where like they hold it over their head, like, oh, you know, you're really supposed to be paying for this, and if you fight us on this. Then maybe we'll take that funding away.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a bargaining chip,
yep.
right? You know,
right.
and
right.
I don't know. It just seems so.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm on record as saying that, like, you know, changes had to be done.
Right.
You couldn't just let everybody go fishing willy nilly, and they would have cleaned out the ocean. I think NOAA overall does a great job. This particular program really
program
is bananas to
right.
me. It's just bananas.
Something is very deeply
$800
disturbing.
Just because I mean a lot of these guys go out, they don't make $800.
Right. And also, a big problem that I learned is that they're not insured by NOAA. These at-sea monitors. So the lobstermen or the fishermen have to carry the insurance.
Are you sure about that before you say that? Because I'm not sure about it.
Well, I went to a meeting.
And they said that?
And they said that.
Okay,
so
wow.
This was a meeting that I went to last year, and that was a huge, huge, huge concern for the lobstermen is the insurance, because their insurance rates were skyrocketing as a result of this. So that's what I recall from the meeting.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't just say something.
This past weekend, is it two weekends in a row, Trails and Sails?
It's even more than that, isn't it? Because I think it started last
really?
Weekend. I think it goes...
I can look it up.
I feel like it's like three weekends or something. Because isn't there stuff next weekend too, or is that just my imagination?
I'm going to look it up right now. I know okay. Catherine Ryan did a fantastic
post on it.
Oh, come on. You're going to make a liar out of me? Hold on. It's going to be right here. rails and sails.
Wow. So they have so many so many activities.
There's so much. It seems like even more this year.
Right. I think it grows. Yeah. Because I kind of remember when it was just like a going on a little hike through the hotel estate or something.
I can't find it right now. I don't want to take any more time, but the list on the online site is astounding.
It's astounding, right?
I can't think of them all off the top of my head. I know that, the Heritage Center, the Gloucester what do they call it now? Maritime Gloucester, whatever it is. Yeah. That, I think, is involved. Yeah. Scott Memhard's doing free tours at the Ice House.
And when I went by there yesterday to film the schooners going in and out, it was packed with people coming and going.
That's great. Yes. Hopefully they bought some t-shirts, some Perfect Storm t-shirts. I went with the girls to the city hall. They were allowing you to go up to the bell tower, climb up to the bell tower.
Now, did you take any pictures while you were up there?
Took one picture of me and the girls, and I stupidly had gone for lunch before that, and I had a cup in my hand, and every time I have my daughters when they have play dates, I bring them to Surfari.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, here's a little
kids
tip.
Kids love, yeah.
Here is a little tip. If you have a child that, or a teen, actually anyone. I'm going to say anyone, but like especially, they have to go to a birthday party and you need a gift for them, Surfari has things that every kid loves from the price range of like $350
right.
up to like $100, whatever, to up to $500.
Right.
But there is always cool stuff in there, and they love it. Every time I have a play date with my daughters, I bring the kids in there, and they pick out one of those. Remember were they macrame?
Oh, yeah.
You know those sailor knot?
Yeah, that you had to keep on your wrist.
You kept it on your wrist forever, and they got a little tighter when they got wet. And back in the 70s, kids had these.
Yeah.
And they've come back.
Yes.
And they have them there, and they're literally like...
You're still wearing yours, aren't you, Joey?
No, not so. I wear it as a cock ring. No, I'm only kidding. No, but the... I'm off track now. No, but they're like $350. They're like $350 for
and
these things.
Was that wonderful artist Jeff Clowett there? Was he there?
Jeff was there. I always talk to Jeff. Jeff's great. He gives the kids the Surfari stickers. They all love it. It's like it's an easy take. It's go in there, the kids leave. Yeah. So we went there first, and I had a cup, and when we got to City Hall, you have to climb up these very narrow staircases, steep staircases. I had the cup, and I was holding all the girls' stickers from Surfari and the cup.
In the cup.
Yeah, it was kind of...
It's tough being a dad some days.
It was a blast. It was exciting. And, I had been up there before. Maggie Rosa brought me up there one time before, and I thought I was special. Now everybody gets to go up there and feel so special.
What did the girls think when they were up there? They must have loved it.
They loved it. They loved the view. And so the big cruise ship was in the outer harbor. And the views, you see over the Penny Factory, you see out beyond, Eastern Point and stuff like that.
What a view.
You guys never been up there, huh?
No.
It's a great take.
Yeah,
you got to go.
I want to go.
Wear some, hiking shoes. Don't be wearing your culotte.
Will they strap me in?
Don't be wearing your espadrille.
Will they like strap me to the side?
Yeah,
stairs.
You have a little they put you in a harness.
So yesterday when I was photographing, I tried to, for our readers, I'm going to post it tonight, is get pictures of the cruise ship with scale. You know what I mean? So every picture has like, the giant cruise ship with a little tiny schooner going by and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
So, and then when it was behind 10 Pound Island, like you could, it was in the foreground, 10 Pound Island's in the foreground, and then the cruise ship's in the background, and it looks like it's the length of 10 Pound Island.
Yeah, wow.
So when you were up above, what did the cruise ship look like? Like from the tower?
It was really way in the outer harbor.
Oh, okay.
So you couldn't get that sense of scale.
If
there was a schooner going by it at the time, it would have been able to tell a little better. But what a boon for downtown, because this is shoulder season, right? We're into the shoulder season
right,
now.
Right.
So I know my restaurants, every time one of these big ships comes in, we always get double orders.
Everybody, lobster rolls, everyone's looking for, they're like, where can we get a really good lobster roll? We want to get lobster, and you would think that, you know, they're on a boat, they can eat. Those are all inclusive, right? That they wouldn't, but they're looking.
They want the local, fresh caught, the whole thing.
They're looking for things, and they and they're looking to go shopping. I mean, they're looking to find things and spend money. And
the girls at Virgilio's yesterday were out of breath. They were like, so I got there, and the whole place was packed, and then it kind of thinned out, and they were like, they had just had like 1 second of a breather.
Virgilio's, you know, has a good relationship with Sherry because they have their rolls and they use their rolls at the hotel. I mean, I'm not sure about the hotel. I definitely had Seaport Grill. Because I see when I'm delivering lobsters there, the Virgilio's truck is backed in there oftentimes. Okay. You know, I mean, so many that whole group, you know, between the weddings. Because weddings bring money.
Right.
Anyone wants to dispel that.
Right.
Weddings equals money.
Weddings is the way to go.
Yeah. a lot of people getting paid. It isn't just the facility. A lot of people getting paid when there's a wedding. Florists and
photographers.
Phenomenal.
Entertainment.
DJs.
Everything. Yeah. Dry cleaners that have makers. To clean the linens. I mean,
it goes on and on.
It trickles down.
Yep.
But the cruise ship, because I wasn't down there this Saturday because I had to teach. But normally I'm there, and they're very interested, all the people that get off the boat, in learning about Gloucester, in finding, and also they're looking for simple things too, like, is there a CVS here? Is there Walgreens?
Everything's walking distance too.
Is there a supermarket? Or, you know, and then
is there a liquor store?
And then Uncle Bobby has the cater bus, doing the loop with the cater bus.
It's the trolley one.
Yeah, it's the
trolley.
Which
is really cool. They get on the trolley.
Yeah, they can get on the trolley, and it's $3, hop on, hop off. And if they're walking downtown and they get tired, they can wave it, and it'll take them. And then there are buses that go to Rockport. That's not a trolley. That's a regular bus. Like every hour on the half hour.
But they couldn't have worked better because there's also trails and sales.
Right.
So there was all this other stuff.
Well, there was a lot more because a lot of times it'll be like a Sunday morning and there's nothing open.
Or
it'll be a Monday and they'll be like, we want to go to Cape Ann Museum or they'll say to us, you know, what are the two most important, what should we see, where should we go?
Oh, Cape Ann Museum is a no-brainer.
Yeah, Cape Ann Museum, Maritime Heritage, and they all love, like, sometimes we wear the, you know, the
Southwester, yeah.
Everybody wants one of those.
They do.
Everybody sells them. Like, I texted Sarah Oaks down at the gift shop at Maritime Heritage, and I'm like, do you have those yellow hats? People want them.
It's amazing because you think they send them to Nelson's.
Well, no, we do send them to Nelson's. We send them to Nelson's, and we send them, you know, we're like, get off the first stop, you know. On
Nelson's
the bus.
Is our mini L.L. Bean.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's authentic.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, not that L.L. Bean isn't authentic, but like this is things that fishermen go to purchase.
Right. Like, well, that's where the ones that we have, but that's where Uncle Bobby got them, was he bought them down at Nelson's. And so we send people down to Nelson's
It's fantastic. So we did that. I wish I knew more about what that. In the past, I always wrote down the different events. Upcoming is the Cape Ann Artisans Tour.
Yes.
When is that? That October?
Is that Columbus Day weekend?
I believe it is. Okay. I believe it is. Look for the pink signs.
Yeah.
We have a lot of Good Morning Gloucester FOBs.
Right. There are a lot right in our East Gloucester neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
They're all over Cape Ann.
But you look, they put out a good map every year.
Yeah.
Hold on. So there's three restaurant things I wanted to mention. At the Pigeon Cove Tavern, every Thursday, they're doing trivia, stump trivia.
Ooh.
And it is, they have prizes, pub food specials, $6 sangria, and it is, it's starting Thursday, the 29th, and they continue every Thursday at 7 p.m., Pigeon Cove Tavern, gorgeous spot, great food. Doug Pappas is doing phenomenal things over there.
The food is wonderful there.
So I want to. Oh, have you been there recently? I'm dying to get back. I've only gone twice this summer. I've got to go back.
About a week and a half ago, we went. Oh, and guess what? We wanted to sit outside, but it was kind of chilly.
Yep.
So they gave me a blanket. And I just had like a little blanket on my shoulders, and we could still sit outside.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah.
Have you been there since the renovation?
No, I haven't.
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
September 29th, the Harborside.
Well, like Stogies and Suds.
Yes, Stogies and Suds party at Cape Ann Brewing.
Kim and I will be there, front row with our Stogies.
This is Cape Ann Brewing. Thursday, September 29th, they turn in the Harborside deck into a cigar bar, Cape Ann Brewing style, and offer up a hearty fall buffet and fresh brews. Tickets can be purchased at $50 a person, include two beer tickets, two cigars supplied by Plus 90 Cigars, and the buffet. Tickets can be purchased at the pub and on eventbrite.com. On Cape Ann Online, I mean, Cape Ann Eats, www.capeanneats is a link to okay. buy your ticket for that.
Okay.
And I have to say, I used this week. I am a huge fan of the Serenity Restaurant Group Rewards Card. Mm-hmm. Serenity Group has Lat 43, Minglewood Tavern, Kala's, Hale Street in Beverly, Maggie's Farm in Middleton,
yeah.
and Opus in Salem, and
one
a couple
in
other.
Beverly too, yeah.
Some other ones. This rewards card, I can't tell you how many free appetizers and meals I've gotten because of this rewards card. It is like every other month they throw a free. So I used my most recent one for a free appetizer. I got a $16 appetizer in Minglewood Tavern for free. Just for signing up.
What did you have? What was it?
It was some unbelievable dip. I can't remember the name, but it was great. But yeah, Kate and I went there. Like, our meal was considerably less than it would have been. So right now, if you have one of these reward cards, you get a free appetizer at Minglewood Tavern added to your card. Some of the appetizers you can get: crispy fried pickles, nacho pile of love, truffle fries.
I want that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everything. So on www.capeanneats.com, you can sign up for this rewards card for free. They give it to you. All, there's no risk, all reward. It's crazy not doing it. All right, so there's that.
You know, I forgot to mention that my friend, a very dear friend of mine, Lyda Kuth, is giving a lecture at the Cape Ann Museum Thursday night.
Is that the architecture one?
Yes.
Lyda Kuth. Is she the one that they're talking about? Is that person dead? The architect that, are they talking about some early woman, a woman
yes.
that was a pioneer?
Yes, and is it Elizabeth?
Oh, so Lyda Kuth researched this.
Yes, I think Lyda may eventually be making a film about this woman. So Lyda's a filmmaker also. And she's a filmmaker and a film funder.
Oh, cool.
She has LEF Foundation, L-E-F Foundation. And I know that she's contributed to a number of films that Henry Farini and Newbar and people have worked on. So,
nice.
She's giving the lecture Thursday night at the Cape Ann Museum. I can send you the link. I'm going to repost
it. Well, it's been posted.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah. I'll for the show notes, I didn't know.
For the show notes, I should put it in. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. I haven't heard anything about Feathers and Wedge, but we got a press release that it had opened September 13th.
Yeah, and there's
I haven't heard anything about it.
I read something in the paper that there's something about their liquor license.
Oh, okay, maybe so, that's okay. Let me go to their Facebook page and hopefully they've.
It was something about how they have a liquor license, but there's some esoteric rule where you can't look in through a window in Rockport and see bottles of liquor.
I know. I went to their website to check out to see what
their
menu was like. I couldn't.
Okay, hey, wait a second. They've updated their website, and it looks like they're updating it on a semi-daily basis. I'll read from the menu. I haven't done this. But today, just 22 minutes ago, they updated it. Amazing early fall weather in Rockport, opening at 2 today. Go to their Facebook page. I'll link to that. There's a picture of lobster capellini made with Pastaio Via, oh, Pasta Via Corta. Oh. They're using their pasta.
Okay, I went there yesterday to get some pasta for dinner because Liv and Matt requested pasta and bolognese. And she is making ravioli with, I think she said like a sweet squash and mascarpone cheese.
Oh my God. It sells out though, doesn't it? Like you have to get there.
Well, when I went there at, say, I think it was around 12, she didn't have any then because she was getting ready for her pre-order. She was getting her pre-orders ready, but she said she would have more in like 2 more hours. So
I should call Kate right now and tell her to pick some up.
Yes, go pick some up. Or put her, because she is open on Sundays.
Pasta? Wow. Yeah, she's worked hard. Eric says her hours are amazing when she opens.
She is incredible.
So here's I'm going to read from the menu that they posted on, so this isn't tonight's menu, but this is the menu from September 22nd. For dinner, smoked tuna salad with avocado and arugula, $7. This is, I guess that must be an appetizer, right? Pate de campagna, pistachios, pickled onions, baguette, $9. Simple greens salad, $7. Radish, leek, cabernet vinaigrette, carrot salad, raw and roasted, sultanas, cumin seed vinaigrette dressing. Then they had a penne pasta, house-made Italian sausage, fennel rapini, a halibut, smoky eggplant, roasted tomatoes, roasted radishes, scalloped potatoes, buttermilk, dessert, buttermilk, lemon pudding cake, vanilla bean panna cotta, and chocolate mousse.
Oh, gosh.
Our questions have been answered.
Wow.
Thank you for Facebook. Thank you for the owners of Feathers and Wedge to update
us. Are there hours there on their Facebook page? Are there their daily hours?
Well, they said today, they posted just 22 minutes ago saying that they'll be open at 2
open,
today.
But I mean like we can't go tonight, but what's their...
Let's see.
Does it say?
No, it does not.
Okay, well,
hold on. Okay, closed now. It says, oh, see, on the Facebook page, see, you can't go by this because they said just now they're going to be open at 2, but
right,
on the Facebook page it says open today 12 to 4 and then 5 to 11 p.m.
Okay, so.
The website is also listed. Let's see if they do anything there. Let's see. Menus.
Maybe they're just working out their hours.
Yeah, probably. Selections from recent menus. Okay. That's on there. So yeah, they're doing a good job.
Wow, that that menu sounded wonderful.
Feathers and Wedge, and then I have to post the link to that one too. So there you go. We got an hour in here. Thank you guys for coming. Anybody want to add anything in closing? Did I miss anything, Kim?
No, I don't think so. I think we went through all the show notes.
I think we went through all the show notes. Yes, yes, yes,
it was
yes.
Super fun having you. In
thank
Israel.
You.
Yeah. It's always fun. I always tell Heidi she's always welcome.
Yeah.
And she doesn't only she doesn't have to come here and only talk about Gloucester Stage because I know that's one of your hats, but you have many hats.
You yes, because
you're a great guest.
About the community. Too.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're involved in stuff,
community.
So we like people that are in the know. Well, and no, but have opinions and can add to the show notes and stuff like that. It's nice.
I have something to add.
Big T! Big T, chiming in!
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I didn't want to interrupt, but it's been bothering me since you guys mentioned it. There was a muskrat was ran over? Or a beaver?
Oh, the otter.
Oh, the otter.
An otter?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That was a North American river otter.
River otter? All right. I just wanted to know if the beavers are running around, and they could be real vicious this time of year. The beavers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The beavers beavers can be vicious.
there are beavers.
Depends on that time of the month how vicious they are.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Why do you think that the beavers are chasing the muskrats or the sea otters?
I don't know. I just overheard something. It's just been bothering me.
No.
I want you to be careful with that. That antenna is just honestly teetering right there. I don't want that to bang your head or anything.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Muskrat love.
Muskrat love.
I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I had the song to go out. Yeah. All right. Big T coming in hot in the end there.
We can sing it.
Heidi Dallin, Kim Smith, your host Joey C. signing out. Gloucester Class 201 in the books.